Thank you for joining us today on Lincoln County Connections. Every Thursday we come to you, and over the course of the last 60 days, many of our programs have been focusing on COVID. We have Pammy Monette with us today. She is a master gardener and also leads the Agriculture and Forestry Program. You're the coordinator, correct?
Correct, yep, for OSU Extension.
So good morning. And good morning. Pammy, you know, you reached out to me and said, I have got this index, really, of local farms. And I kind of thought, okay, this is important, you know, definitely, let's go on the radio show. But this morning, as you're kind of catching me up to speed, you have told me that this is kind of a response to COVID. So I think that's great. And I'm really excited that we're going to talk about how you see this fitting in. But before we jump into that, I do want to just give people some context of where you work and what you do. And so how long have you been with Extension now?
Sure. So I've been with Extension just about 10 years now. I started out in Linn and Benton counties working with the Master Gardener program over there. And then 3 years ago or so, 2.5, moved over to Lincoln County. And so happy I did. It's just been a great community to become a part of. And so now I work with Master Gardeners and coordinate that program still. But I also work with the small farms out here and some forestry landowners as well. So it's been, it's opened my eyes to a lot of different issues out here, and it's been just nice to get to know the landowners. I feel like I really connect with those folks and just have a little different perspective on how the world operates. So it's been really fun out here.
Well, I think what's interesting too about you is looking at your graduate work. Food policy, is that right?
Well, so I got my master's in public policy, yep, and kind of focused on agricultural and rural issues, and did a little study down in Coos County, actually. I don't even know if this term is accurate anymore, but food deserts was kind of all the rage and research back then, and that was, 10 years ago about. So basically the premise was trying to figure out where in these communities people are maybe more likely to experience, to not get access to healthy food.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of the lens I've seen on this discussion too, in health and human services, looking at our community health improvement plan, community health assessment, and talking about, you know, how accessible are quality foods. I just wanted to ask you, so what led you personally in this direction? I mean, is there anything about your upbringing or, you know, somewhere along your educational path that made you find policy around these issues fascinating?
Well, I did grow up in a pretty rural ranching community in Northern California, Etna in the state of Jefferson. A little shout out.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I've always grown up in a pretty small area, small community, and I think it's been more about just understanding your neighbors and respecting your neighbors and kind of helping each other out when you're in need. And so policy, I think, has always been something that is a necessary tool to kind of ensure that these folks are able to provide the food that we need in a way that's not going to totally cripple them. And we treat, you know, our farmers as neighbors as well, because they're part of our community. And so, you know, policy is just a realm that I've gotten into because it makes sense to kind of shift maybe some of these, not inequities, but just regulations that kind of make it very difficult for farmers to do the job that they're trying to do, and to also help folks that need food and could really benefit from healthy food access it in a way that also, you know, kind of shifts that equity.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. You're saying, you know, 10 years ago when you were doing your graduate work, I sort of feel like that's sort of when farm to table really started trending again, in a sense, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when the trends, kind of come in and out. And I think it's always been a practice in a lot of rural communities, but like this farm to table movement,
yes,
kind of the urban centers kind of grabbed on, you know, and really, and it was great because it really blows it up to a bigger proportion, gives it more resources. People in Portland want to buy from, you know, local farmers. So that really helps the whole system. But, you know, folks in rural towns have been doing this for,
of course,
forever.
That's,
so
that's right. Well, it's funny, you know, Facebook shows you your memories. And I recently had a memory of back when I was, I'm a little bit more rural now, but when I was living in the middle of Newport and we were urban farming in our backyard, you know, and, but you know, that was an effort to kind of recognize that, why not, you know, make the front lawn edible? There's a concept, but getting to kind of what you've put together, when I looked at your list, and for those of us who are listening to us, if you go to OSU Extension's website, you'll see Pammy has this index of local farmers. So who are these people? And I mean, it's more extensive than I expected.
Yeah, so I guess the way that this list came about was it was something that I had wanted to do for a while, and the COVID, you know, health crisis kind of bumped it up the priority line.
Okay.
But, you know, the farmers markets here have been a great way for people to get to know their local farmers and purchase directly from them.
Yeah.
And a lot of these farmers have been selling to local restaurants as well. And so that those were kind of two ways to get their product. And some of them had been doing small on-farm sales. But I think now that this whole health crisis has completely kind of blown all the stuff out of the water, we don't know if farmers markets are going to open up here in Newport. I know they're working on it.
Okay.
And the hope is that they can, because they're classified as an essential service.
Of course.
This came about just trying to figure out a way to communicate to consumers that want to support these local farmers how they can do that directly from the grower. So a lot of growers are having on-farm sales that are, you know, they have a protocol to keep everyone safe, but where you can order from them, pick up your produce on farm, or a lot of them are offering deliveries, which is
awesome.
Amazing, because that takes so much time. So I knew that a lot of the farmers were doing things like this, and I just wanted to kind of put it all in one place so that, you know, if, you know, Casey, you're thinking, well, you know, maybe I want to buy some local salad greens, eggs, pork.
Yeah.
You could go to that list and figure out how to do that very love easily.
It.
So
love it.
Yeah. It came about pretty organically, and it'll be updated. So if anyone wants to be on it as a local producer, just contact me.
Okay, awesome. Pammy Monette, OSU Extension. We're going to take our first break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. Pammy Monette with us. She is a master gardener, also coordinator for OSU Extension's forestry program, agriculture, has put together this comprehensive list of where you can contact local farmers. And if you didn't or weren't listening before the break, Pammy, you said, hey, look, especially during these times with COVID, we need that direct link so we can connect to these farmers, because you're right. Typically, I survive out of our local farmers market, even through the winter, for a lot of things, especially my veggies. And we don't have that right now. But also some of these farms that you've got here on your list, I haven't always seen them as well at farmers market. So not everyone is at, you know, there are people that exist out here. I'm going like, wow, this is cool.
You know, not all farmers like to pursue that way of selling their produce. And so, you know, I think as kind of this agritourism idea kind of picks up a little bit, where we're farmers are inviting people, consumers, onto their farms.
Yeah.
That really kind of makes sense right now, because they can do that in a safe way. You know, social distance isn't too much of an issue. They can order online, and that's something else I can talk about a little bit. And they can kind of, you know, have a little trip with their family, go out and pick up their produce. And once restrictions get lifted, you know, I think agritourism will really be a way that we can educate folks about farming and really going to the farm to see
what they're
working with out there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I kind of think about when you mentioned this every year or other year, how we, you know, go pick blueberries, for example, you know, and it's just become something that's fun to do and it gets you outside. So this is absolutely wonderful. And I think, too, I recall, you know, 20 years ago when I was a server at the Whale's Tail, and, you know, local sellers would come in with their mushrooms or their fish and literally walk through the restaurant. So from this list, do you see in a future version, I don't know, almost an app, a more of a nexus between, you know, the restaurants too that are buying from these farms for those who really want to make this full circle?
Yeah. And, you know, I hope that this can kind of be the start of that. I know, so restaurants have obviously closed or are very limited in what they can offer now. And so farmers kind of lost that market. If they had a personal relationship
right.
and they were selling to these restaurants, that has been, so that was another reason to go directly to farms and shift where that produce can go now. But I am hoping that once restaurants get open that, you know, this might spur a system that's similar or online. However, restaurants and farmers want to do this. That's a kind of an online purchasing program or just a Google document that says, this is what the growers have available. Mm. This is what you can do to purchase it as a buyer of a restaurant. And how do we make that as seamless as possible? And how do we get new people into that system too that don't already have those relationships with farmers? So, yeah, I hope it will spur something very similar.
Okay. So to kind of reiterate, for someone like me who's like, man, I'm not getting those locally grown organic veggies, I can look at this list and reach out and find a way to meet these growers, especially as things are, we're going to be moving into, you know, more production, find a way to hook up with those kinds of provisions that I want.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these are a little limited right now because it's very early in the season. So it might be meat, it might be greens right now and stuff like that. But it'll pick up pretty quickly here. And another cool thing that I've seen the farmers are doing is doing more vegetable starts. So, you know, we're kind of limited out here on the coast on where we can buy our own vegetable starts to grow in our gardens. And so I know a couple of the farms like Sitka Springs and Neal Farms out in Siletz, they're offering vegetable starts for sale.
Wow.
So that's another way to support them if you want to, you know, just purchase starts for your own garden. So they're shifting in what they're planting as well.
Now, master gardeners typically have their big sale.
Right.
When did that normally happen?
That's normally the third week in May, the third Saturday in May.
Okay.
So that was, yeah, exactly. That was canceled. A lot of people counted on that for their local
yes.
starts and are very
exactly.
upset that they can't get their tomatoes. And we're all very upset too, but we do plan to have a fall sale.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, yeah, we're trying.
But here's a workaround.
Yep, we're trying to shift these folks out to the local growers to buy their starts, and you know, hopefully they'll just get to know a new place
yeah.
to purchase.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, this is almost like the opportunities that come from this situation. I mean, this is a nice positive outcome, even though it's not ideal. But it represents some good innovation. Pammy Monette, OSU Extension, will be back in just a moment. Thanks for joining us today, and thank you, Yaquinabay Communications, for giving us this opportunity to come to you throughout the county. And I would like to remind you that this is archived as a podcast on the Yaquinabay Communications website. Pammy Monette, Master Gardener, works with agriculture and the forestry program through OSU Extension. She has put together a list of local farms that we as consumers can reach out directly to. Just absolutely fantastic. Pammy, I know you sent me the direct link. How, if we go to OSU Extension's website, Lincoln County, What are we kind of clicking on to get
yeah.
here?
It's actually, I just did it this morning and it's pretty straightforward. So if you just go to our OSU Extension Lincoln County website, just Google that. And then under the What We Do tab, I think it's the third link down. And so you'll find a Lincoln County local food guide. And it's up and running. It'll be updated as we get more information. And hopefully it'll just be a continued resource that we can you know, use to help out these growers.
Yeah. And as we mentioned previously, you know, we don't have our farmers market at this time. Here's a way, here's a workaround to reach out to these people. Also discover local growers maybe you didn't realize even existed. You know, typically this is around the time we start purchasing our CSAs, I know in my household. So in a way, this is sort of a, I think of it as a CSA-ish type variant.
Yeah, a little bit. I know a lot of small growers in Oregon have very quickly like expanded their CSAs, which is community supported agriculture, where you buy a share and get a box of food a week. I don't know of any farmers that are doing CSAs here, but it's kind of the same concept. You could set up a weekly delivery and you click on what you want to buy, contact the grower, and they'll either bring it to you or you can pick it up at the farm. So, yep, in a sense, it's a way to do that. It's just not the money up front.
Yeah, yeah, but it can be done. This is so cool. And Pammy, as we're kind of working our way out here with a couple minutes, could you just make a few comments about the Travel Oregon, the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, this food trail idea? What is this, by the way?
Yeah, so a lot of this work was kind of happening already, and it kind of bumped up the priority line with the health crisis. But there's a group of organizations, Travel Oregon, the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, Extension, and a bunch of restaurant owners and farmers that are involved in launching a Central Coast food trail. And so that is still happening. We're not sure when it will be, you know, officially launched, but essentially it'll be a way to highlight all of these growers that offered farm sales and restaurants that are offering local food in a kind of brochure packet.
Got you.
Visitors and local folks can say, oh, you know, I didn't even know about that farm out there, or, oh, cool, this restaurant's here and they're selling, you know, lots of local ingredients. So it'll be a way to kind of see what's out there in Lincoln County in terms of local food.
Yeah. Jesse Dolan, I think I'm saying his last name correctly. You know, he briefly talked to me about this, you know, months ago. And it's funny, we had planned a trip to Maui before everything went down. And I remember him telling me, oh man, I used to live in Maui. I got to tell you about the things, you know, you won't necessarily see in the popular tourism things. Mm-hmm. You know, what are these options for exploring, you know, the community that are off the beaten path, so to speak? So it sounds like what you're saying is this is sort of a virtual guide, not actually necessarily a physical trail, but in some senses.
No, I mean, it'll be a map. People can self-guided thing, and it'll say, you know, this farm is open Saturdays from 9 to 3.
Yeah.
And so you can plan your trip and go visit those farms or those businesses, and they'll list, you know, their availability. But it is a really neat way to explore a county if you've never kind of, you know, maybe you only go to the coast and you only go to the ocean, but there's so much more to Lincoln County that we want to highlight all these river valleys. And so I think it'll be a neat way for folks to really get to know the county a little bit more.
Yeah, and I love this idea too of potentially being at a restaurant, looking at the menu, and sometimes you'll see restaurants, they'll emphasize the farm things were purchased from. But, you know, however this pans out with a QR code, you know, on a menu that allows you to, if you want, go from that experience to actually going out and seeing things grow in the soil.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you could visit the farm that they got their salad greens from or something like that. And so it'll kind of morph. And I know North Coast and South Coast have food trails and they've had a lot of success with them. And it's really brought in you know, more resources and just more support for this kind of local food system. And so we're hoping that it does the same here. And we really want to focus on supporting the local business owners and growers first, and then kind of bringing in, you know, tourists and supporting it with those dollars as well.
Okay. Gosh, I would love to expand upon that more with you, but thank you so much. This Lincoln County local food index guide, essentially, on OSU Extension's website. Pammy Monette, thank you so much for putting this together.
Thank you for having me.
Great timing and exciting things to come from this. So I appreciate Pammy being here and you for listening to us today. Stay safe and healthy out there, and we'll talk to you soon.